Hello and welcome to Theatre Voice, the Victoria and Albert Museum's performance podcast. Sarah Frankham's departure from the Manchester Royal Exchange Theatre feels a little bit like ravens leaving the Tower of London. She's been in the building since 1998, joining as literary manager just after it reopened following the Arndale Centre attack and founding the Bruntwood Prize shortly afterwards. A decade later, she stepped up to a three-strong team of artistic directors before taking the role on alone in 2014. In the 5 years since then, Frankham has transformed the organisation's attitude and its output. She's pushed new work onto that massive main stage and urged up-and-coming directors to make work at scale, often for the first time. Most crucially, she's opened the theatre up to new audiences across the entire city. She's helped redefine what a city's central theatre can and probably should be. A lot of that goes back to her artistic beginnings, as she tells Catherine Love in this reflective interview looking back over her tenure. Frankham joined a youth theatre in Sheffield as a teenager and began her directing career working with theatre in education companies. With that in mind, Catherine started by asking Sarah Frankham how those early experiences have defined her practice ever since.
As a director, I think it's made me, it's been my value system. I think, you know, there's a lot that I learnt in my first experience, which was the kind of inclusivity and the value of everybody's experience in collaboration. And actually kind of there's something about getting really, being in a situation and an experience where amazing things can be produced by, some of the most amazing things can be produced by groups of people who really don't think that they might be able to do that. That's always been really interested me. I think that there's always been something for me, and as an artistic director as well, about I saw something, I found a world, I found a place which seemed to me to be a much safer place for me to be in a youth theatre, and then kind of in the world of actually working with young people and drama, where creativity was not something that a few people had. It was something that everybody was actively involved in. And I think in artistic directorship, one of the things that's sort of been my, I guess, my kind of guide really is how you open up, and this building particularly, to kind of open a building up so that everybody's creative expression is, whether you're professional or non-professional, is equally as valid and as important. And so one of the things that has been my most, where I've felt the most proud and actually the most stimulated and the most inspired, has been the work that I've made, or we've curated, and I've just been in the audience for, that has been produced by the young company here, or now our company of elders, and kind of the work that we've made with Manchester's communities. It feels that is as important as kind of tackling classic plays and the hard graft of filling a theatre that's got to play to 700 people every night.
Could you talk about some of the other ways in which you've tried to open up the building during your time at the Royal Exchange?
Yeah, I mean, it's been, I guess it's sort of been, it's been a long, slow burn, I guess. And I guess in the first instance with, it's a real gift to come somewhere and to be asked to open a new chapter around new work and the development of new plays and the development of a different way of working with playwrights. And I think the sort of access to opportunity and Yeah, I think the Bromwood Prize and the anonymity around the Bromwood Prize and how we've tried to make that a truly national competition, even though it's kind of, you know, it's based in Manchester and it's very much delivered in Manchester, but it's got national and now international reach. I think there's something about believing that, you know, kind of you can be, anybody can be a playwright, and actually it's about, once you give people the knowledge and tools to be able to do something, that actually that you can, and a theatre this size needs to be able to do that, and people need to be able to, you know, readily access them. And I guess there's, you know, a big institution like this, it felt quite closed. I think it felt when, certainly, you know, kind of the, certainly when I first arrived, but also kind of it was very hard to change people's perceptions of what happened in here. There were a few people that were making a lot of the work when I arrived, and actually as we've opened up the notion of kind of what we program and who makes the work, a wider variety of people have come to see it, but also a wider variety of people have been involved in the R&D kind of part of what we do, and the sort of nurturing of new work projects. And I guess that's sort of been, it's been as simple as that. It's kind of like actually making sure that rather than repeating the things that we've already done, that we're looking to, I've always felt that it's important to do something new. So even if you're, you know, producing a classic, you have to find the reason why you're doing it for, you know, why this precise moment in time for your this city, this location, and not just for the audience that you know you already have, but for what's in it for people that don't come, aren't engaged with the theatre. So there's been, I guess another thing has been a kind of a recalibration or a reimagining, a reframing of this building and this theatre's relationship with its audiences. So we did a big programme called You the Audience, which is now sort of morphed into something called Local Exchange. But actually, there's sort of the sense that our audience are, you know, our fellow collaborators, and that there's a lot that we could learn from our audiences in order to make the experience of what we are as a building, but also what we might put on our stages, and also kind of what and how they might play a more active role within the organisation. And, you know, we now have, through a huge project that we've done over the last 18 months, we now have audience ambassadors who are, you know, kind of increasingly important stakeholders who, you know, kind of do input into ideas for programming, who are curating their own festivals of work and ideas. So I think that's, you know, I think it's, everything has been about opening the doors. And I still think there's kind of a way to go with that. I don't think we've just scratched, I think we've scratched the surface. I think, and actually kind of probably that's, there's a huge next step to go, but just you know, I guess I've always been excited by people doing things for the first time. So it's been exciting to give people their first show here. There used to be a feeling that you had to have made a lot of work and you had to have come up through a studio space in order to, as a director, to make Main House work. And whilst I think you need to be a confident director, I think it seems really, in the ecosystem that we have now, it seems almost impossible for directors to break through. And it, I think the unique nature of our space, it's a difficult space, but also in some ways it's a, it's a, it, the scale of it is less intimidating, and it's been a real privilege to be beside directors making work for the first time at scale, and create structures that can support that, recognizing that those artists, those next generation artists, may need different things. We can't just assume that it's an effortless kind of step up. For some it is, but for others it's actually, you know, changing a lot of the way that we work in order to be able to help them make their best work.
Related to what you were saying a moment ago about the relationship between the theatre and its audiences, how do you see the relationship between the theatre and Manchester as a city?
This theatre's a huge part of the city. I mean, it still kind of excites me that a group of artists came to Manchester in the early 70s, and the council, they wanted to make a different kind of theatre space. The council showed them many, many places, and then finally showed them took the boarding off the doors of the mothballed Royal Exchange, and kind of went, well, would this be interesting? And like literally within 3 years, through the generosity of the people of Manchester, there was a brand new theatre. And you know, Manchester made it happen, made the Royal Exchange happen. I think Manchester is a city that has grown and changed, and is a has had many, many kind of different stages in its evolution. And I think the Royal Exchange has kind of, in a way, been different things in different decades. I suspect that the really weird thing was that it was at the start of the regeneration of Manchester. So the bomb in 96 meant that the building got a complete kind of overhaul and refurbishment, but was closed. But it was the forerunner for all the other regeneration that happened in the city centre. And I think it kind of, in a way, I wonder what the building would have been like if it happened in the middle of that, because of that massive period of growth and reimagining of Manchester city centre. Because it's very, it was slightly out of step. The thing that I've come to really understand is how, and that's the great privilege of leading a big regional building, is that you realise that your theatre is kind of very much part of the lives of thousands and thousands of people, but across generations. So, you know, I've really loved, you know, kind of getting to know, you know, I've seen people go, you know, that's the, you know, kind of it's maybe one of the only things about being in the same building for so long, that's a good thing maybe, but kind of just seeing your audience grow up, and also kind of seeing how the deep love and loyalty and excitement about what may happen in this building and what you might see, and seeing that being passed on to children and grandchildren, and actually kind of, I guess it's also allowed me to see how, as the city's changed, our audience has changed. And Manchester's a very young city now, and it's got an amazing representation of different people and different communities and different cultures, and some of that is starting to be reflected, not necessarily in completely, you know, in, we've got a massively long way to go, but there's a very, you know, the kind of the nature of some of the work that we've made through our community engagement program, and the kind of different kinds of people that we're working with is totally different to, you know, kind of 20 years ago. And I think kind of actually, you know, there's a sort of the big hidden kind of and very difficult conversation around, you know, it's a huge public building, it's a big institution, it's also a cotton exchange, it's been a cotton exchange, there's a huge relationship with the history of slavery, or history of cotton and slavery, and the Royal Exchange has a very, very, very deep and long-standing complex relationship to the hidden history of the city, and I think that feels more important and more visible than it did 20 years ago, you know, kind of, I think we're kind of aware, we're infinitely more aware of what we are, I don't know, kind of standing on. And it's not, that's complicated, and that's really, really hard, and is a, you know, yeah.
How have you, as artistic director, tried to grapple with that complicated, difficult history, or to be conscious of it in the process of programming work and making work in this space?
We've tried to curate programs that are, I guess, have a multitude of experiences and viewpoints. And I suppose it's, I mean, I think it's very, some of that's been through, you know, what's the lens through which we're exploring a play. So I kind of think, you know, there have been some quite significant productions in that, making Hamlet with Max, Don Warrington as King Lear, and in the two Arthur Millers that he did, you know, kind of most recently, you know, kind of taking and re-spinning again Tanika's adaptation of Hobson's Choice. You know, there have been some realigning and reframing of the big kind of, you know, traditional planks of the producing theatre. I think there's been some of that, but also we've invested and we've taken far more creative risks in terms of some of the new work that we've done. So rather than putting it in studio spaces, when the stories have felt big, we've put them into the big theatre. So in Chris Good's Jubilee, you know, kind of the very recently There Is a Light, and kind of which was a piece of work that Kandinsky made, and actually I think there's a kind of that the work has, by the very nature of who's making it and kind of whose stories it holds, has kind of tried to do something. I don't think we've, I was quite surprised when people go, oh my gosh, you know, you've done so many new things. You can think, actually, I think we've had to still be quite conservative. It's not anywhere near what I would have, if I'd have kind of, you know, if I'd have had the freedom. But, you know, it's always the balancing thing. You kind of, in order to, you know, for every risk you want to take, you also have to shore up the reserved and resource to do that. So the, you know, we did Guys and Dolls, a kind of reimagined Guys and Dolls, which was, you know, a wonderful piece of work, which, you know, transported it to Harlem. We kind of just moved it a few streets up and reorchestrated it, which we did with Talawa. But actually also the thing that maybe people didn't quite realise about that was it also made it possible for us to invest in and to produce Black Men Walking with Eclipse. We did, I think that was in the season that we did, we co-produced Three Sisters with Rash Dash. And we did a new piece of work, which was one of the Bruntwood, by a completely unknown playwright. And it's like that balancing act. The theatre's program is it's sort of like you punch some holes for the light to come through. Mm. But actually, the very difficult thing, and I don't know whether we've been as successful as I would have wanted to have been, is that you do something interesting which kind of creates connections with people that don't come. And the really tricky bit is how you keep those people re-engaged and keep those people coming back. Mm. And I suppose the thing that I've come to the conclusion of is that it's actually I don't know how you do that, because you can't be all things to all people.
Mm.
And I think we've tried to be a little bit, we've tried to be all things to all people, and I think that's probably you're on a bit of a hiding to nothing there, and maybe that's something about how these buildings have to change, maybe, I don't know.
There's an interesting question around the place of classics in the repertoire of big buildings like this, because there's an expectation that a theatre like the Royal Exchange will put on a certain number of classics, of plays from the dramatic canon. And as you mentioned, there's also that balance, because those big shows are perhaps likely to bring in bigger audiences. I think that in addressing that, there's a really interesting question around the place of the dramatic canon, and what if we want change, how do we address the canon?
Yeah.
And one approach would be to just stop doing those plays entirely and say, okay, we're going to focus on new work or neglected plays from the past and not do those classic staples. Or you put on those classic plays and try to reinvent them in some way, or to draw out what's maybe kind of problematic about them and take a more critical yeah. approach to them. And it seems as though the Royal Exchange is interested in that latter approach, yeah. that idea of, okay, let's really pull this play apart or shine a light on a different part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's. I mean, I've never been interested in, you can't, in just doing a classic play because it's a good play. I mean, it's always been like, why is this play? What is the now in this play? And also, I think that the kind of like, the more interesting the person is that's approaching it, the specificity of the person approaching it will, it rather than some, and again, I don't know whether we've been entirely successful at this, but there's something about kind of actually what empowering directors to be bold and to bring themselves and to bring their authentic selves into the complete reimagining of a classic play. Mm-hmm. And I think some of those things, like I think about Jeff James and Persuasion,
mm-hmm.
and nobody would have thought that he would have done, that he would have been interested in breaking apart Jane Austen. But actually, I think there's sort of something about kind of there's something about really holding and supporting people in to look at the canon and to support their investigation, their very personal investigation of a classic play. And I think in regional theatre, in all theatre actually, I think there's a sort of a bit of a that you can't. You can fuck around with them, but you can't fuck around with them that much, because they still need to feel like what they still need to be recognisable. And I'm not sure whether I agree with that now. I kind of did. Now, also, the thing that must be said is that the, you know, classical canon is not popular with the audience in the way that it used to be. Doesn't sell tickets in the way that it used to be. Ibsen, Chekhov don't sell tickets. People are much more interested in coming to see new work. And, you know, now, actually, we have far more confidence about things that haven't had any, you know, haven't had a life. We feel like we can more comfortably understand how many people will come to them, and therefore... and actually, I think we're now. I think we're very much in a world and in a time where people kind of really consciously want new stories. And if they are looking at and experiencing stories that have already been told, if there's not a sense of urgency or a sense of being able to kind of fracture the narrative and then put it back together again, I think it kind of, it's like it doesn't fit anymore. It sort of doesn't sit well with an audience.
When do you think that shift happened, and do you have thoughts about why it is that there's this greater appetite for new stories now?
Because I think we can't, yeah, we're kind of in the death throes of capitalism, and we can't keep kind of convincing ourselves that the story we've been in for a really long time is helpful, or we've kind of outgrown it. Like, we literally think we've outgrown. I don't know. I wonder whether I've been really lucky to. We've had a relationship with Simon Stevens over quite a long period of time, and I think there were three plays that he made here that have. There's just something about kind of like new, when the appetite for new work, I think, kind of got to be around genuinely kind of just like really buzzy plays. So punk rock was incredibly buzzy here. And I kind of just really remember the foot. And it was the sort of sense that a new play can generate a kind of, you know, I'd never seen a queue of people. We sell the day seats, which are the seats on the front row, and just that you just had to see the play. The play in some way was absolutely kind of speaking to people, and I've just been told I've got to come and see it. And I think that is I think that sort of was around 2005, 2006. I don't know, maybe it's also that in a city that was sort of quite literally kind of ripping things down or ripping things out, and kind of, you know, people were, you know, living in warehouses and living in the city centre, and kind of, you know, all the people's, citizens' relationship with history and space and where you can be and what's yours and what's, you know, where you can go, what you can have, what you can live in, where you can, all of that got shook up. And maybe it started then. I think this theatre's always done new plays. It has always done new plays in its big theatre, which is quite unusual now. It's quite a big theatre to take that risk in terms of programming, and I think the development of, you know, there's been some quite interesting, the development of playwriting and understanding of playwriting as a craft has kind of been I think developed an interest and a curiosity in what a new play can be in our audience, for sure.
So you were just talking about Simon Stevens, and of course you're about to open a new Simon Stevens play here, Light Falls. Does it feel significant to be saying goodbye to the theatre with this particular play?
It feels like a really lovely gift. I kind of didn't really know that I was going to be going. It's been a commission that's kind of developed over kind of a couple of years, really. So, he was the first writer that I commissioned when I arrived, and he's been. There have been very significant parts and, you know, places in my career which have been about doing his work, and he's been a very long-standing friend and colleague, I guess. But I also think it's a play that is a real meditation on the North, and a kind of, through the very, very particular lens of a family. I think it's there's a lot. We went on a bit of a road trip together to sort of kickstart the commission, and spent quite a lot of time with each other on trains and in various places around the north of England. And I think that there's something for both of us. I'm from the north and he's from Stockport, and we went to places that we hadn't been to before, and kind of actually we talked a lot about how we're very, even though we don't probably think it, or we haven't probably thought it, we're deep in our DNA, kind of, and we've been very much made by the places that we came from. And I think this play kind of captures that, and captures a very ordinary family who are in the middle of the most kind of, or about to be in the middle of the most awful thing that can happen to a family. I don't know. And I've, you know, kind of, it's, he's always written, he writes for actors, I think, and I, as a director, working with actors has always been the thing that I've enjoyed the most. And it seems really, really right to be leaving this theatre in my last couple of weeks, working on some cracking, brilliant scenes with some amazing actors, because it doesn't really get any better than that. Mm. And I guess it just feels like there's a sort of sense that there's a completion, you know. And in a good way, mm-hmm. not in a sad way or a kind of a termination. It just feels like it's just the drawing down of something. It's just the closing of something, and it couldn't be a better play to do that with.
Mm-hmm. Does it feel like the right time to be moving on to a different challenge?
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I didn't know that I was ready to go until I was ready to go, if that makes any sense. And I've always felt that it's, because I've been here for so long, it felt very important to me that I didn't, it's a real privilege to be an artistic director, and I wanted a period of time where I could really push some stuff along quite quickly and kind of make the theatre more like the theatre that I wanted to encounter. And but it was the final bit was actually going, well, the biggest change actually is the fact that two people who are barely 30 are the new artistic directors, and that a board who's changed hugely in the time that I've been artistic director have made not a leap of faith, but had the imagination to rethink what a leadership model might look like, and have, in their great wisdom, appointed two of the best generation, two of the most exciting directors of their generation. And that feels like if I had a worry about leaving, it was always like I didn't know that the theatre was going to be all right. And actually, I feel deeply, deeply like the theatre's not just going to be all right, it's going to be one of the most exciting theatres in the world, and I can't wait to see what they do. These buildings are hugely exhausting places to run, you know, they take everything from you. I can quite honestly say that you don't ever really have much of a life outside, well, I haven't been able to. I've wanted to do it really properly. And there's a limit, actually, to how, whether it's kind of, irrespective of whether it's good for the company, whether it's good for you, actually. And I kind of feel like, really, I'm much more up for kind of finding new ways to both work as a director to put some of my what I've learned here and apply it somewhere else, because I think that could be really exciting. So the role that I'm going on to with Lambda, kind of, it came at the right time. The opportunity was sort of offered at the right time. And it's always really good to leave. I've always been a big believer that you should leave a party when it's going well. It's like, never stay at a good party, is what I say.
This Voice is an audio archive about British theatre. You can subscribe to our weekly podcast on iTunes or visit our website at theatrevoice.com for hundreds of interviews with some of the world's leading theatre makers. This episode was presented by Catherine Love and produced by Matt Truman and Helen Gush for the Victoria and Albert Museum in London. Thanks for listening.